Today, I knew yesterday now, was Zayin Adar. Of course, we know Zayin Adar is the Yortzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. And this Yortzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Gemara, plays a very important role in the Neis of Purim. The Gemara says that Haman was excited when he saw that the Gaaro fell out in the month of Adar, because it's the Chodesh Shemispa Moshe. This is the month which Moshe passed away in. What that means, the significance of that, the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas B'Shalach, that when Amalek attacked Bnei Yisrael for the first time, it was Moshe which was Oymid B'Peretz. Moshe stand in the breach. He stood up against Amalek. And so therefore, Moshe Binu's existence represents the Bittul and the Machi of Amalek. So therefore, Haman was excited. The month that Moshe passed away means, on a spiritual level, especially according to Amaleki thinking and their philosophy, that everything is totally in the mazalos, etc. So the fact that Moshe succumbed in the month of Adar shows that there's a certain mazal tal Adar, a certain inyan of Adar that Moshe can't compete with, which is very good for Amalek. The Gemara continues and says, little did he know that Moshe was born then as well. So this day, Zayin Adar, without getting into the pratim, I want to just speak about a different aspect of Moshe Rabbeinu, is also influential, plays a role in the fact that the whole month was Nepach into a Zman of Simcha. The fact that Moshe Rabbeinu's Leda takes place in the month of Adar is a simen to the fact that not only is there a simcha in the heart of the month, in the middle of the month, which is the Chag of Purim, but there's something to the month itself as is significant as well from the Leda of Moshe. The whole Inyan of Moshe Rabbeinu vis-a-vis this Chazal, as Rabbi Yonazan Eibsch just explained without going into detail, he's medayik in that which the Gemara says. Haman knew about Misas Moshe on Zayin Adar, but he didn't know about Leidas Moshe on Zayin Adar. So he notices the following diuk, that l'chare, the Gemara is out of order. How can you speak about Misas Moshe before Leidas Moshe? Person is born, and then he passes away. But the Gemara says he knew about Misas Moshe, but he didn't know about Leidas Moshe. L'chare, the Gemara should have said, he didn't know about Leidas Moshe, because the Leida comes first. He only knew about Misas Moshe. So says Rabbi Yonasan Eibschitz, the Gemara here is alluding to the secret of Gilgal. The Moshe Rabbeinu, that he's Niftar, and then he has a Leida, which is Merames to the fact that there's life after death. So I want to speak a little bit about this Inyan of Gilgal. I spoke about it a couple weeks ago at the shul. To be marchim in the Inyan a little bit. Let's just lay out a few kashas, and then we'll hopefully come into the Inyan of Misiyata Deshmai. So the Inyan of Gilgal in the Shamas has a very prominent role in Pnimis HaTorah. Although the Yesod of Gilgal was not Neskabel by earlier Tzaddikim, by all earlier Tzaddikim, amongst them, the Reish Mikulam, Rabbeinu Sadia Gaon, he writes in Emunah V'Deis, that although he hears that there are people, philosophers, he calls them, who are saying that there's an Inyan in Torah which is called Gilgal, he refutes that, and he disagrees, and he says that it's not true. This goes way back to Sadia Gaon. Other tzaddikim who felt that as well. However, over the course of history, and befrat from the emergence of the Pnimis HaTorah, particularly the Sefer HaZayar, Ayidei Rav Shem Bar Yochai, and furthered by the Arizal, who wrote an entire Sefer called Shara Gilgulim, it has become a fact in Yiddishkeit, which is which is undisputable. Ad kedei kach that the Maralbach writes in his Tshuvas that anybody who disagrees with the Yesod of Gilgul, it's kimata not bikorsis. The Yaivitz writes this as well, that it's something which is makubal, which is niskabel in chol tfutzas Yisrael, and it's not something which can be taken to task anything. All the writings of Pnimius Atzai, which are filled with inyanim, gilgulim, etc., are all niskabel bi'ava gemura b'toich b'nei Yisrael. One of the Yesoidis in Torah, of which the Zohar references as to a Makor Gemura, to the Inyan of Gilgal, is the Parsha of Yibum. The Parsha of Yibum, the Torah tells us that the Ben, which is Noilad, from the midst of Yibum, is Nikra Al-Shem HaMeis. He's called by the name of the Meis. So what's this relationship between the Meis and the Ben, that he should be called Al-Shem HaMeis, that there should be such Akpada? Rather, says the Zohar Kaddish, that the child who is born, he is the neshama of the mace. So you see very clearly that there's a cycle of Nis and Chaim which takes place, of which the Parsha of Yibum brings this out. What's unique about the Parsha of Yibum is that it's not really a mitzvah which we practice nowadays. Although by the Sfaradim they may practice Yibum, it's a very infrequent mitzvah for sure. And especially by the Ashkenazim, that we paskin that chalitza is kodem es liyibum, that we practice chalitza and we don't practice yibum. I baruch Hashem had the schus to witness a chalitza in Los Angeles a few years back. So it's obviously a very rare mitzvah. And it's interesting that in that pocket called yibum there should be such a big yisayid which emerges from such an infrequent mitzvah. It's one of these inyanim of which we say even masu habayinim. And as we'll soon see, that this word Evan has a very strong connection to the whole parish of Yibum Bechlal. The Zayir says, Mesu sabu v'hishadju l'hai amen ulmen, that old people, they die, v'hishadju l'hai amen, they come back to this world, ulmen, like youngsters. Now, what makes the Parsha of Yibum so significant, I should say the Parsha of Gilgal so significant, is that it's through the Parsha of Gilgal which we're able to explain many kashas in the realm of Hashkachas Hashem and Emuna Bitachon in the world. Because a person can look at the world and he can say, "My chata zeh, what did this child do that he should deserve such a death, such a sickness, such challenges in Shalom Bayis, Chinuch Habanim, Parnasa?" As soon as a person understands, and although he should already just have the humility to know that he doesn't know, and he can be held accountable for many things, Hashem owes him nothing, that although Hashem loves him very much more than he owes him anything, that as soon as you put into your consciousness that there is previous lifetimes that a person is not aware of, that he's held responsible for, so it can explain very easily why it is that one person may be Zaychen, he may prosper, and another person may suffer. Which, of course, is the whole sugya of Tzadik V'Ralo and Rasha V'Tovlo. That what emerges from the sugya of Gilgal is a teretz to that kasha, of which the Gemara says that Moshe stood by the sneh, and he asked Hashem Yisbarach to know pshat Tzadik V'Ralo, Rasha V'Tovlo. Because from there comes out an understanding and appreciation of how Hashem Yisbarach is manig the Briah. So at the root of our Emunah system, what has been Isgala through the Parsha of Yoga particularly, are kashas, terutzim to big kashas. So although we may not necessarily immediately draw a connection between Tzadik V'Ralo and Rasha V'Tovlo, I think one of the things, and this is one of the reasons why I chose tonight to speak about this topic as it relates to Moshe Rabbeinu and Zayin Adar, is Gufa because as soon as we make that connection, we can appreciate and we can have a certain Yishuv Hadas. Not that we need it because we have Emunah and we're very strong in our Emunah, but the more that we're makarv any davar to the Seichel, we have a pshat that allows us to reflect on those kashas which the world struggles with, which we may struggle with, and to say that with this yisoid, many things make sense. So I just want to bring to our attention the paramount importance that the parsha of Gilgal has to the whole sugya, the confusing sugya of Tzadik V'Ra'al, the Rasha V'Tovlo. Of this, the pasuk says, "Oyd Yinuvim B'Seva, the Sheinim V'Ananim Yiyu." We said that every Friday night. "Oyd Yinuvim B'Seva," that although they grow older in their old age, the Sheinim V'Ananim Yiyu, they will be young. So of course, the pashup shot in that is that a Talmud Chacham, like the Gemara says, that a Talmud Chacham, as he ages, he's like wine. He's like fine wine, which becomes better as it ages. What that means in Pnimius, however, is Oy Yinuvim B'Seva the Sheinim V'Ananim Yiyu, that old people become young. That's the secret of Gilgal. And how does the pasuk conclude? L'hagid ki yashar Hashem. That when you understand this inyan, you can say, you can declare, ki yashar Hashem, that everything Hashem does is yashar. Tzuri v'layav l'asabo. Everything is perfect, the whole hanhaga is exactly the way it should be. And we declare that on Friday night because Shabbos is the zman of Pnimius HaTorah. And through Pnimius HaTorah's Nesgala, the whole Indian of Gilgal, which gives a perspective in Pnimius to be able to state with the confidence, V'hagid ki yashar Hashem tzuri v'lev l'asabai. And the kasha which we spoke about based on that Hakdamah as follows. The Zohar Kaddish tells us, V'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasam lifneihem. And these are the mishpatim which were placed before Klai Yisrael. So the Zohar says on this, Da raza de Gilgula. This is the secret of Gilgul Neshamas. The question is obvious. What does V'eila ha-mishpatim asher tasam lifneihem? Why does that suggest the secret of Gilgul more than Bereishis Bara Elokim Hashamayim V'Ha'aretz? Secondly, Parshas Mishpatim is juxtaposed to the end of Parshas Yisro, which discusses the mitzvah of building the Mizbeach Avanim. Now, Parshas Mishpatim is very anticlimactic because we have the pinnacle of Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the giving of the Torah, and the conclusion of the Parsha ends with the mitzvah of building the Mizbeach Avanim. Out of all the mitzvahs in Torah, we had to end with Mizbeach Avanim. This was like the finish line of Yitzias Mitzrayim. That's what we were leading up to, the mitzvah of Mizbeach Avanim, which we can't really do nowadays. Of course, we could do anything in Pnimius HaTorah. Torah is Nitzchi, and there's a way to become every inyan in Torah. But Mizbeach Avanim, this is what it was all about. And that's our lead into Ve'ilam Mishpatim, which is the Shaykh is the Gilgul. How does that work out? There's a Medrash Pliya which says that we know that Eov suffered very much. And the Medrash says that lo hisnachim daito shel Eov, that Eov didn't relax, that he didn't have a Yishev Adas until he saw the following parasha in Torah. Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zachar. That when Eov saw Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zachar, everything was good. Okay? Is that not a Medrash Pliya? Think of a Yogi, that's a Medrash Pliya. Okay? What does that mean? That Eov saw the parasha of Isha ki sazriya v'yolda zachar, and he was able to say, everything is good. We spoke about Zayin Adar, Leidas Moshe. Of course, we like to speak about this inyan of what the Ari says, the secret of drinking Adal Yada. The Ari HaKadosh tells us that there's an inyan that the Gemara speaks about, Chai v'nish l'bishlumei, you probably never heard of this chazal, Adu l'yada, bein ar haman l'barach Mordechai. A person has to drink until he doesn't know the difference between ar haman l'barach Mordechai. So the Arizal says the following secret, and he's mazbrit, but it's not for now, the hasbro in that, explains that the tachlis hashtia is that a Jew should make the following mishap, and he should say, ar Mordechai. He doesn't say that, to say ar Mordechai. All he says is that a Jew should say, barach haman. Baruch Haman. So obviously that can use a hezmer. And lastly, the Meir Shiloach asked the following kasha: why is it the being in Parshas Mishpatim? The Torah says, "Ve'el Mishpatim Mishloach Mishleim." It rolls right into Ve'el Mishpatim, and it doesn't say "Ve'dav Hashem Mishleimar." It should say "Ve'dav Hashem Mishleimar." It's noticeably omitted from the parsha. I should say that. Just to explain the first question we began with, Ve'el Mishpatim is the Raza de Vilgula. So in Sefer Baal Shem Tov Alatayra, quotes from the Degelmach in Ephraim, the Baal Shem Tov had a pshat in this chazal, and in the footnote he brings this out from the following story. The story goes that once the Baal Shem Tov was asked by the Maggid from Ezrich, pshat in the Zohar Kaddish. The Baal Shem Tov says, if you want to know pshat, I'll send you on the following mission. I'm sending you to a certain forest, and I want you to sit there from, let's say, 10 in the morning to 5 in the afternoon. I want you to observe what goes on, and I want you to come back and tell me pshat in the Zohar Kaddish. He says, okay. So he goes there, and he's sitting by this place in the forest, and somebody walks by, and he sits down in the forest, and he looks like he's a very respectable, noble person. And after, he gets up, and he leaves that place, and he continues on, not realizing that he dropped his wallet in that place. So a short while later, the Maggid is watching all this, of course. Another person comes by, and he chances upon that place. He sits down, he's a nani, and he's eating like his sandwich, whatever he has to eat. And he looks down, and lo and behold, there's a wallet filled with a lot of money. And he's very happy about this finding. And after finishing, he picks up and he leaves. Not so long later, another third person comes by, and he sits down, and he's in the wrong place at the wrong time, because the noble person who came the first time shows up at that spot, and he sees this guy standing there. He's looking around for his wallet. He doesn't find it. He turns to him and says, "Where's my wallet?" He says, "I don't know. I know what you're talking about. There's a wallet." He says, "Tell me where my wallet is. I'm going to beat you up." He says, "I don't know what you're talking about. Tell me, I promise you, I don't know." So of course, he starts to beat him up mercilessly, and he's a broken person, but undeservingly. So this is what the Maggid observed on that day. So 5 o'clock comes, he looks at his watch, goes back to the Baal Shem, so he tells the Baal Shem of his discoveries, and the Baal Shem says, "Okay, let me tell you pshat what happened here. In an earlier lifetime, the nobleman, right, Reuven, he got into a sechsech, into an argument with our Ani, our friend Ani, which was guy number two, Shimon. And there was a whole Beis Din, there was a whole Mishpat which took place. And the nobleman was awarded the money undeservingly, meaning that it was an Ivus HaDin which took place, where the Ani was robbed of what he deserved because the court found favor in the nobleman. So now in this lifetime, things had to be corrected. The money which he really was deserved to go to the Ani fell out of his pocket, which is why the Ani found it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu made sure that everything ended up the way it was supposed to. And then the third guy came along, right? And who's the third guy? He's the Dayan. The Dayan who paskin in favor of the nobleman found his einish in this Gilgal as well. So in that way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of everything. Like the Pasuk says, "Ke mishpat l'elokim hu." Right? The mishpat belongs to Hashem. Hashem is the melech, he's the melech ha-mishpat. And he makes sure that everything, whether it's this lifetime or the next lifetime, will even out and be the way that it's supposed to be. So that's why, said the Baal Shem Tov to the Maggid, based on his findings, this is pshat of ve'elam mishpat mesher tasam lifneihem. That the Mishpatim, although we may see Ivas HaMishpat, we may not see with our own eyes, in our lifetime, the Tzedek of the Mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping Cheshbon, and ultimately everybody will take exactly what he deserves. Parashat Mishpatim is a parasha which the secret of Gilgul comes up a few times actually, which is very unique. The Zohar says that a person can be misgagel three times. And the Zohar says that in that parsha, in the beginning of Parshas Mishpatim, which is the Parsha of Amavriya, of which the Torah says, She'ira k'susa v'oynasa le'yegra, that a man is responsible to his Amavriya, these three chiyuvim, She'ira k'susa v'oynasa, to provide for her, to clothe her, and his responsibility as a husband to her. So these three things, the Zohar says, Dal Gilgul Rishon, Dal Gilgul Sheni, Dal Gilgul Shlishi. It's connected to three Gilgulim, the Zohar says. And again, Im Shlash Eila, La Yasela, the Zohar says, this is the three Gilgulim. And in other places too, the Zohar brings out the secret of Gilgul from that parasha. Now this idea that the Zohar says in a few places that a person can have three Gilgulim and no more than three Gilguls seems to be refuted in other places where the Zohar implies that a person can have many, many Gilgulim. The fact that you can have three and no more than three, which means four lifetimes in this world. However, the Sfarim bring out, based on the mashmas from the Zohar, that you know that every neshama is comprised of three neshamas within a neshama. It's called the nefesh, ruach, and neshama. So the Sfarim bring down that it's mashma from the Zohar that when it speaks about three Gilguls, it really means nine Gilguls. Because three is really three within that three. Be it as it may, the concept of three Gilguls is found in a pasuk in Iyov. This is the pasuk which the Zohar brings many times. The pasuk says, "Hein kol ela yif al kel." All this Hashem Yisbarach does, pa'amim shalosh im gaver, three times with the person. Vel arba lo ashivena, but not a fourth time. Right away, from the fact that it's brought down in Sefer Aviyov, already tells us that there's something interesting about Iyov and its connection to the Parsha of Gilgal. Why that is, that there's a connection between the Parsha of Gilgal and the Parsha of Iyov, is because we know that the Ramban tells us that the whole Sefer of Iyov is a discussion of the sugya of Tzadik Duralo, Rasha V'Tovlo. Tzadik Duralo, Rasha V'Tovlo. So what emerges from Iyov is a discussion about this complicated issue in Amun and Bitachan. The Ari HaKadosh, we're just sidetracking for a little bit, he opens up the whole sugya of Iyov by telling us, if you want to understand the suffering of Iyov, why, although he was a tzaddik on the one hand, yet he suffered so much, the Ari tells us because Iyov was a Gilgul of Terach, the father of Avram. And because he was such a big Rasha, that he was the big Avodah Zarah, Nick of his time, and in fact, even Avram was born to Terach from his wife when she was a Nida. So, Memela, there were many tremendous, terrible crimes that Terach committed, which he needed a very big purification. And in fact, it's mashma, it's clear, that the reason why Avram Avinu had to go through many nisyonos was in order to purify the neshama of Terach. He was working very hard, also the mitzvah of kibud avim, to purify Terach, and eventually Terach becomes Iyov. In fact, there's another pasuk in Iyov, which is mashma, the secret of Gilgal. The pasuk says, "Arim yatzasi mibetan imi, I left the womb of my mother naked, va'arim ashev shama, and I will return there naked as well." What's going on with that? You don't return to your mother's womb, you return to the ground. So pshat is no, that you do return there. That Iyov is saying that I'm not done. That there are gilgulim that a person has to go through. That although, in the same way that he came into this world, mibetan imo, he will return there again. So even Iyov is alluding to the secret of Gilgal, because as soon as he understands that secret, everything becomes clear to him. Now, the inyan which we started to discuss, which is the inyan of Gilgal three times or more than three times. So the yishuv to that is based on the following pasuk. We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he stood by Har Sinai, after the breaking of the luchos, and he begged Hashem, and he said, "Hareini na astarkecha, please teach me the mystery of your ways, the secret of your ways." And Hashem told him the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim. So the Yud Gimel Midas of Rachamim is really revelation of the secret of Gilgal. Because the Zohar Kaddish tells us on the Pasuk, Pokid Avos Al Banim, Al Shileishin V'Ari Beyim L'Sainai. The Zohar says this is a reference to the secret of Gilgal. And over here is really the Pesach to understanding the secret of the steer, which we spoke about before. Is there a Gilgal three times, the Ad Kan, or is it more than three times? So what emerges from the Zayar is the following klal. Poiked avos albanim, shileishim, v'ribayim l'sainai, that to a Rasha who is called l'sainai, there's only shileishim. Shileishim and ribayim, which means three Gilgals, which means four lifetimes. L'sainai, there's only three or four. However, v'ayse chesed la'alafim la'ayavai l'sharmim mitzvayisai. To those who I love, which are tzaddikim, they can have a Gilgal even 1,000 times. So what does it mean, 1,000 Gilgulim? The world is only 6,000 years, so how can you, many times can you be Mizgalgal in 1,000 la'alafim in 6,000 years? 1,000 Gilgals? It doesn't make any sense. So the tzaddikim explain that there's two different types of Gilgal. There's a type of a Gilgal which is a full-fledged Gilgal, where a person dies and he comes back into this world again. He's reborn into this world to live another 70 years. Or there's a type of a Gilgal where you don't come back into this world, like a full rebirth. Rather, you're able to have a presence in this world to correct what you need to correct by maintaining your main presence in the higher world. So it goes as follows. A Rasha, who has a lot to correct in this lifetime because of his mistakes in the previous lifetime, so Hashem says, when he sees his neshama and he comes up, Hashem says, listen, you failed. Right? You need a new chance. So Hashem will send it back into this world, legamrei, once again, for an entire ride once again through this world. A tzaddik, however, who accomplished a lot in his lifetime, he has a few things, a few dents which he needs to fix up. So Hashem says, don't worry, you stay up here, and there are going to be opportunities for you to correct yourself in the lower worlds. And what that's called is called ibur neshama. Ibur neshama, which means that at times where a person in the lower worlds is doing a mitzvah, which may be a mitzvah which that tzaddik did not do in his lifetime or needs to correct. So ibur neshama means to be impregnated at the time that a person is doing a mitzvah, the misaking the neshamas of tzaddikim who didn't have an opportunity to do those mitzvahs. I'd mentioned that the Yaivitz has a whole nusach before the mitzvah of Pidgin Bechar, Pidgin Aben, and in the nusach of his version of L'Shem Yichud, he writes that the father, before doing the mitzvah of Pidgin Aben, he's mekabel upon himself to do this mitzvah, al das, all the neshamas of all the tzaddikim who need a tikkun of Ibn Neshama, that they should also be able to participate in the mitzvah. By the way, the Yaivitz was the one we quoted before, who was very gung-ho about the fact that Gilgul is 100% accepted by Klai, so he even put it into the nusach of the tefillah. I had the schos Baruch Hashem to do that mitzvah, so when I did that, years back, 14 years ago, Baruch Hashem now, so I remember reciting that nusach at the time. So what comes out, therefore, is that being that every Jew needs to accomplish in his lifetime all 613 mitzvahs, and of course, it's not so pasha to accomplish all 613 mitzvahs, which is why a person may come into this world in different kufas, sometimes in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, sometimes as a Kohen, sometimes as a Levi, in order to be able to fulfill all 613 mitzvahs. There's other ways to fulfill 613 mitzvahs, but in order that Hashem Yisbarach sees to it that a person fulfills all 613 mitzvahs, one of the ways that's accomplished is through the Indian of Ibur Neshama. Ibur Neshama. And this is the difference between Gilgul Rishayim and Gilgul Tzadikim, like we say. It's for a Rasha. Three full Gilgulim. Whereas for a Tzaddik, now this is interesting because Hashem Yisbarach gave this revelation to Moshe Rabbeinu by Matan Torah after the breaking of the Luchos. And the whole Indian of Shviras HaLuchos is also Shaykh to the Indian of Gilgul. And this was the Pesach to the Indian of Gilgal, to the awakening, to Hashem Yisbarach bringing a second Luchos, was because the Shvir of the Luchos Rishonos was like a neshama which doesn't complete its task in this world. So Hashem Yisbarach says, don't worry, I'm giving you a second chance. That's called Luchos Shnios. So at that juncture of the revelation of the Yigim Omidos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrated the Indian of Gilgal through the giving of the second Luchos. which are called Luchos Havanim. And here we see a connection between the Luchos and the Gilgal by the fact that the Luchos are called Luchos Havanim. Because the Sfarim explain that the word Evan is a construct of the words Av, Ben, father and a son. And the way that Av, Ben is understood in the Sfarim HaKadoshim is that you'll find that when it speaks about Av and Ben, it can mean literally the father and a son, which is how it's said, Alpi Niglas HaTaira, but Alpi Pnimius HaTaira, a Ben can be that person coming back in the Gilgal later on. That in his earlier Gilgal he's called an Av, but his existence in a later Gilgal is called a Ben. That he's like a Ben in that second Gilgal to a first Gilgal, which is called the Av. So therefore, Evan, which is the merging of the word Av and Ben, represents and is a simin to the Inyan of Gilgal. That's why we call it an Evan Hamizgalgal, right? An Evan which rolls. So with this we can explain one of the questions we started with before, the relevance of the Mizbeach Havanim to the Eil HaMishpatim. The Chazal say, Rashi says, why is there a smichus of the Mizbeach to the Sanhedrin? I mean, to the Parsha Mishpatim, to teach us that the Mizbeach should be adjacent to the Sanhedrin. What it means in Pnimius, however, is that the whole Inyan of Mishpat, like the Zohar brought out, is the Raza de Gugula. And the Raza de Gugula is represented by the Mizbeach Havanim. Because the Mizbeach is a place that neshamas go up and go down. In fact, it's brought down in Sfarim that if a person doesn't accomplish what he needs to in his third lifetime, and a fourth Gilgal, he may come back as a behemoth. And when he comes onto the Mizbeach and he's offered as a Mizbeach, as a behemoth, like the Jewish neshamas will be in the behemoth, so that's the final tikkun for the neshama. So you see the Mizbeach Havanim represents the Inyan of Gilgal. It's the place which connects Shemayim Ba'aretz, that neshamas come down and they go up on. And it's called Mizbeach Havanim because it's the secret of Evan, like we spoke about before. Av Ben, which is the Raza de Gugula, which explains its connection to the Eil HaMishpatim. Just parenthetically, Parshas Yisro, the Zohar says that when Moshe was told by Yisro, the whole parsha of Ata Techaz Mikolaom to set up a system of judgment, right? It should be obvious to us that the Ata Techaz Mikolaom to setting up a judicial system has a shayches to Mishpatim. And in fact, the Zohar learns explicitly that there was a revelation that Yisro was giving Moshe about the Inyan of Gilgal. In fact, we know that Yisro was a Gilgal of Kayin. And the Zohar says in another place that when Hashem said to Kayin his punishment, Na v'nod tihi ba'aretz, that you'll be a wanderer, he was referring to the Inyan of Gilgal. And that wasn't his Kayin through Yisro, that he came back as Yisro. That's why Yisro is called Yisro Hakeni, which comes from the Neshama of Kayin. So what's interesting is that Yisro is revealing to Moshe something about probably Gilgal Rishayim, because Moshe was Gilgal Tzadik. He's a Shaykhus to Hevel, whereas Yisro has a Shaykhus to Kain. It's not the time to be Marach in that Sugya. It's a very beautiful Sugya. The dynamic between Kain and Hevel is it repeats itself in Moshe and Yisro. But based on this Yisod, Parshas Yisro has 72 Psukim, and 72 is Gematria Gilgal. With the Vak. Very good. You're masaking your previous Gilgal on the Shir. What's interesting is that if you take a look in the Gemara Brachos Daf Ches Men Aleph, the Gemara brings down a discussion between Moshe and Hashem by the Sneh. That Hashem wants to reveal to Moshe by the Sineh the secret of Tzadik V'ra'lo, Rasha V'tovlo, and according to one day in the Gemara, Moshe doesn't want to hear about it. Doesn't want to hear about it. It's only later on that Moshe Rabbeinu wants to know, and Hashem says, I wanted to tell you by the Sineh, and you said no, who says I want to tell you now? What's interesting is that the Zohar says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was standing by the Sineh, Hashem wanted to reveal to him, or he did reveal to him, the whole Inyan of Gilgal Neshamas. Because the Zohar says that there are three colors within every fire. And being that there was a fire within that Sneh, so Hashem was revealing to Moshe through that fire the whole Inyan of Gilgal Neshamas. The pshat on what's going on over there is because Moshe Rabbeinu was wondering, why is B'nai Yisrael subject to such a harsh shibud? Hashem Yisbaruch was teaching him through the Seh the answer to that kasha. And this is again revealed through the Ari in his Drush in Shaar Kavanos, the Drush Aleph LePesach, where he writes that the neshamas of Bnei Yisrael were on this galgal numerous times until they landed themselves in Mitzrayim. Originally they were the Dor HaMabul, then the Dor HaFlaga, then the Dor of Stone, and then they found themselves in Mitzrayim. Which means that, and by the way, this is a tremendous gilui in understanding something which seems to be such a big kasha in the Torah. Why do we need to know about the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFlaga and the Dor of Stoim and Avram Avinu's Mesiras Nefesh to try to save them? What does it have to do with me? What does that have to do with Bnei Yisrael? Is this something which is important to be known? If you could tell us about that, tell us about a lot of things. But the Torah says that the Torah wants to teach you everything which pertains to Bnei Yisrael. And so therefore, if the Torah is spending time telling you about the Dor HaMabul, it pertains to Bnei Yisrael. The Dor HaFlaga pertains to Bnei Yisrael. The stone pertains to Bnei Yisrael. As the Reed brings out, these are the neshamas of Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim. And what Hashem Yisbaruch is teaching Moshe by the snare about the three colors in the fire is that there are three Gilgulim which Klai Yisrael as a nation has gone through, which brought them here to Mitzrayim to suffer, to be misakin, that which took place in those Gilgulim. That's what the Arizal says. That why was it that they were thrown into the water? Jewish babies were thrown into the water because of the chet of the Dor HaMabul, which is the same thing. Why is it that they had to build Chomer Levain and build in Pitam and Ramses? You know why? Because they built the Migdal in the times of Dor HaFlaga. Everything is Mida Keneged Mida. So you see that this is a parasha that Hashem Yisbaruch is revealing to Moshe. The Moshe is the one who reveals the Inyan of Gilgal because it is Shaychus to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, how it is a Shaychus to Moshe Rabbeinu is in itself a mystery. Because we have conflicting chazals, especially in the Zohar Kodesh, where the whole secret of Gilgal is brought out. Like we said before, you don't find the Inyan of Gilgal in the Gemara. You find perhaps Ramazim to the Inyan of Gilgal in the Gemara, but not a discussion because it comes from Pnim Yisatar. There are places in the Zohar Kodesh which seem to imply that there is a secret of Gilgal by Moshe. Moshe is Nisgalgal, but in other places which implies that Moshe is not Nisgalgal. Example, the Zohar says, Ispashtusa the Moshe behold over there. So Moshe has the Hispashtus and the Gilgal in every generation, Moshe is there. On the other hand, there's a Medrash Pliya, which says on the Pasuk, V'loyoda ishes kfur asai. Nobody knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. So the Zohar says that the Malachim took Moshe to a place that he won't have a Gilgal. He won't have a Gilgal. And in fact, the Megala Amukos explains the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was so persistent in telling Hashem Yisbarach that he wants to go into Eretz Yisrael because he saw Baruch Kotchai that he would not be in his Galgal. And if he's not going to have a Gilgal, then how will he perform the mitzvahs which he needs to accomplish in Eretz Yisrael? Whereas Aaron, he was not persistent about going into Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Aaron knew that he was going to be in his Galgal as Ezra. Ezra HaSofer is Aaron HaKohen. And Ezra lived in Eretz Yisrael. He brought the Jewish people back to Eretz Yisrael. That's why Moshe persisted and Aaron did not persist. So is Moshe Nisgalgal? Is Moshe not Nisgalgal? So the Yishuv to this Inyan is that which Rav Pinchas Karatzer says in Parshas Matos, that Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, before you die, Nekomas Nikmas Bnei Yisrael, I want you to avenge the blood of the Jewish people in fighting against Midjan, and then you will be gathered amongst your people. So says the Pinchas Karatzer that Hashem Yisbaruch here revealing to Moshe the secret of his Ptira. We're Makatzer because we're coming short on time. The Pinchas Karatzer says, afterwards you will be brought into your people, is teaching us that if you want to know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, spiritually buried, he's buried within the Jewish people. That's where you find Moshe. In fact, this is the Pshat in the Zohar, which the Moreinayim quotes numerous times. The Zohar says, "Raya Mehemna," which is Moshe, the faithful shepherd, "Vaser Diskanish Mi Alma," after he was taken from this world, "Nahir Beshitin Riboy Nishpasin Israel." He shines in the 600,000 neshamas of Bnei Israel. So, if you want to know where Moshe is buried, although the Torah says, "V'lo Yada Ishes Kfurasoi," The Zohar reveals the secret of what that is, that Moshe is buried within the 600,000 neshamas of Bnei Yisrael. With this, we can explain a very perplexing chazal. The Gemara tells us in Tzayit Daf Yadalit that anybody who's looking at the kvur of Moshe, he sees it as a mystery. Those who are on top see it below, and those who are below, they see it on top. And those who are standing in the middle or in both places see in both places. So where is it? Can't really say about it that it's there. Those who are lamata see it lamal, and those who are lamal see it lamata. So what's the mystery of that? The teretz is that Moshe Rabbeinu was indeed taken to the highest place possible. So the place where he doesn't have a Gilgal. Such a high place. However, the highest place which you can actually reach is Nishmas Yisrael. Because there's nothing which is higher than Nishmas Yisrael. So therefore, Nishmas Yisrael in its roots is the highest of all places. But Nishmas Yisrael is in this world. It's in the lower world. So therefore, if you want to look and to understand the secret of Moshe, he's in the highest place. But it happens to be that the highest place is also in this place, which is called this world, which is where we are too. Moshe is like everywhere because the neshama is of an Esai. But wherever you find a Jewish soul, you'll find the neshama of Moshe. So therefore, you could say about Moshe Rabbeinu that he's not Shaykh to Gilgal. He's not like a tzaddik who he needs to come back and to correct mitzvahs which he doesn't need to correct. Because he's mispashit throughout Bnei Yisrael. Wherever a Jew is doing a mitzvah, Moshe has a chilek in that. And he's certainly not a rush that needs to come back at all. So you could say about Moshe Rabbeinu that he has a special exemption from the whole Indian of Gilgal Bechlau. Like the Medrash Pliya says, that he's taken to a place which is higher than Gilgal. And with this we can explain why it is that the Parsha of Mishpatim does not begin with Vaidam Rasham Moshe Lema. Because the Zohar says, Ve'elam Mishpatim, this is the secret of Gilgal. And the secret of Gilgal is Shaykh to all of Bnei Yisrael. And something which is Shaykh to all of Bnei Yisrael, and Moshe included, Hashem will tell it to Moshe, and then Moshe will tell it to Bnei Yisrael. Vaidabra Hashem, Moshe, Lamor. It pertains to Moshe, and now Hashem is telling Moshe, teach it to the Jewish people. However, Gilgal is not Shaykh to Bnei Yisrael. Excuse me. It's not Shaykh to Moshe. It's only Shaykh to Nishmas Bnei Yisrael. So therefore, this parsha begins, Ve'elam Hashem Tassim Lifneim. This is what you have to teach to the Jewish people. Lifneim to Bnei Yisrael. Lifneim excluding Moshe Rabbeinu because it's not Shaykh to the parsha of Gilgal. He exists constantly within every Jewish soul. In fact, in the Gemara Darshan's on this word of Lifneim, Lifneim v'lo Lifnei Akum. You're not allowed to go to our Koz Shogoyim. It's many halachas pertaining to this. Going to a court, to a goyish court, is a problem in halacha, unless you have obviously a heter from a beis din. But there's a din called lifnehem velo lifnei akum. And here too is also a remnant at the end of Gilgal, because in the svarim they speak about is it shaykh Gilgal for a goy, is it not shaykh Gilgal for a goy. So what comes out is that it's not shaykh Gilgal for a goy, except for very bad, terrible neshamas which. You get the schus to suffer a lot more than what, because they deserve it, so they can come back and suffer numerous times. But the open klali, we say about that a goy does not sound shaykh better than the parsha of Gilgal, which explains pshat pasuk. Ve'elam hashbatim shalom lifneim, which b'nei Yisrael have the rest of the Gilgal, v'lo lifnei akum, but not to goy, it's not shaykh to goy. We have that schus, so to speak, of the Indian of Gilgal. Although Moshe Rabbeinu is not shaykh to Gilgal himself, Moshe Rabbeinu is considered to be like the overseer of all the neshamas of Bnei Yisrael. He oversees all the Gilgulim. That's why the Zohar says that Moshe Rabbeinu is Rashi Tevos, Mimchein Shifta Hishkiach. That from that high place, Mimchein Shifta Hishkiach is Rashi Tevos Moshe. That Moshe Rabbeinu is looking, he has his watchful eye in this world to make sure that every single Jewish soul has its tikkun. El Kol Yoshvei Ha'aretz, the Pasuk said. But to say that's pshat why every single Nisuin is done Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. Because a marriage is not just like this guy likes this girl and they hit it off and then they should marry each other. That's not how it goes. That every Nisuin has to be according to the Shoresh Neshamas. And the only one who is able to know the Shoresh Neshamas and to give his approval of that is the Neshama of Moshe. So therefore, every Nisuin has to be Kedas Moshe of Yisrael. And it's done with a Tabas, the Zohar says. We're knowing only with a Tabas because a Tabas is circular, which is a remnant to the whole Indian of Gilgal. Perhaps that's why you can be mekavish with a tabas shal zahav or a tabas shal kesef. Because zahav is din, which is meramis on Gilgal b'shaim, and kesef is chesed, which is meramis on Gilgal tzaddikim. Doesn't mean to say that if you're mekavish your wife with a tabas shal zahav, that it's a cheshish anything, it's just a simin ba'ama. Talsa pshan pasuk, you could say. We say, Paseach esedachu maspi al chol chayrotzayim. So the Ari says, Ratzon is Gematria Moshe. 346, Moshe is 345 with the Koyla. What's the pasuk you say after that? Tzadik Hashem v'chol derechav v'chasi v'chamasav. When you find the presence of Moshe, you're able to declare that Hashem is tzadik and chasid in everything which he does. Like Moshe says in Parshas Hazino, Moshe declares that. What does he say? Kel emuna v'ein avel tzadik v'yashar hu. Shicheis loy, you think that Hashem has a problem, says Rashi? No. Loy, no. Bun of muma. What that means is that if you think the aptanas on Hashem for what's going on in your life, it's not because of him, it's because of you. Bun of muma, you have mumim in you, which you don't even know you have mumim in you. And you go through Gilgulim in order to correct those pegamim. And with this, we can understand the whole Indian Bisayat of the Shemaya of Chai Ve'in Shlubisume, like we said before. The whole Indian of Chai Ve'in Shlubisume, we have to be Makatzer. Chai Ve'in Shlubisume is that a person has to drink until he reaches a higher state of Das. That a person can't understand Hashem's Hanhaga in this world with the Das which he has, the regular Seichel Hanushi. To understand the workings of Hashem in this world, he needs a higher das. He needs to access a higher das, which we said before is called the das of Moshe. And the place of where the das of Moshe is in that place of v'loyada ishes kfurasa. It's unbeknownst to us. Therefore, the mitzvah of drinking on Purim is that a person should awaken and he should reveal that nekuda of Moshe within him, like we said before. There's an espashtus of the Moshe in shishin rivay nishmas in the Israel. Every Jew has a Nekudas Moshe, which is Nisgalat to him on Purim. Just like we're Mekayim Matana Savyonim, Hashem is also Mekayim Matana Savyonim. And the gift that Hashem gives each of us on Purim is the gift to access that Nekudas Moshe within himself, which is Zeichet through Yayin, Nichnas Yayin Yetzei Said, that the Said within him, which is the Nekudas Moshe, which is buried within him, is Nisgalat. And since Moshe is in that place of Adlo Yada, as the Pasuk says, V'lo Yada Ishis Kfurasai, nobody knows where that Moshe is. By drinking Adla Yada, it's not just some hefker type of a drinking. It's considered to be the climax of the entire Avodah of Purim, that a person is Zeicha in that state to access that Das of Moshe. That's the state of Das of Moshe, which is called Adla Yada. In that place of Adla Yada, you can understand that which Moshe understands, which is the Raza del Gugula. Tzadik v'ralai, Rasha v'toivlai. Because Tzadik v'toivlai, everybody understands. And Rasha v'ralai is move on, the call. What we struggle with is Tzadik V'Toivloi, Tzadik V'Radloi, Rasha V'Toivloi. So therefore, you could say as follows. That to say Baruch Mordechai and Arah Haman, there's no kutz in that. That a Tzadik should have Baruchah and a Rasha should have Arah, Pashat. But what you need to get through the drinking on Purim of Adla Yada is that you should say Baruch Haman. Why good things happen to Hamans? Or why Arah Mordechai is? Why bad things happen to good people? For that, you can only say that with certainty when you reveal the Das of Maisha, which is the gift that Hashem gives every single Jew on Purim. That's why Purim is a lashon of a gairo. Gairo means it just seems like it's randomness. This person suffers, this person does well. What's going on over here? So the Pesach and the tshuva to that gairo, to that mystery, of which we said that Haman didn't understand that. He understood the Misas Maisha, but not the Leidas Maisha. The Pisrain, the secret to that, becomes clear to us in that state of Adla Yada. Whereas everybody else is standing around and laughing and pointing fingers and saying, ha ha ha. If a person is tzaddik enough that he's able to do the avoid the b'shlemas, in that place where everybody is standing around him and nobody chaps, you chap. Because you have the Das of Moshe. Parenthetically, the gematria of Megillas Esther, with the koilo, I don't know if I went through it today. I just saw it in my notes from a while back, so forgive me if it's not. You can do it on your own. Every gematria should be done on your own. My Rebbe always says that. The gematria is because every gematria is a light. And unless you go through the gematria yourself, it's just like a nice cheshbon. But if you really want to taste the light of the Torah within the gematria, you have to work the gematria out yourself. You'll taste it if you work it through. I believe Megillas Esther with the Koyla is gematria Tzadik B'Ralai Rasha V'Toyla. And we know ultimately that even Haman was zeichet to a Gilgal, a Tikkun and a Gilgal. The Gemara says in Gittin, B'nei Banav Shal Haman, Lamdu Torah B'nei Brak. So we said before, what does it mean, B'nei Banav? B'nei Banav doesn't mean his grandchildren. It means his great-grandchildren, but it means, B'nei Banav means in a later Gilgal. That Haman himself, in a later Gilgal, because you say Baruch Haman, so I'm amazed what that means, that's a Bechina of Rasha V'Toyv. But there's a later Toyv, which is Neskal, even by Haman, which is Bnei Banav Shel Haman Lamdu Taira Bibnei Brak. With this we can understand, as we go back to some of our kashas, which we already explained a lot of them, we explain what's the pshat, Baruch Haman, a little bit about Zayin Adar, the Inyan of Mizbeach Havanim. We explain Ve'el HaMishpatim, the Raza Dibul Gula, the Me'ashiloyach, why doesn't say V'da'am Hashem HaMashalimor. We'll just end by explaining that Inyan of what we spoke about with Eov. We established already that Eov is the Sefer of Tzadik Bura'aloi, Rasha V'tayvloi. And therefore it's in the Sefer of Eov that we have these psukim. Like we said before, and as the Arizal explained, the whole Inyan of Iyum as it pertains to Terach, that the whole Pesach to that complication, to that Sugya, is Niskalda through the secret of Gilgal. But this we can understand what we said before, Shelo Hisnachim Daitel Shel Iyum Ad Shira Parshas Isha Kisazuya V'yalda Zachar. Because in Isha versus a Zachar, and Isha versus an Ish, in Ptimius means that an Ish is a Mashpia, and an Isha is a Makaba. And every single person in his lifetime in trying to emulate Hashem is to be a mashpia, not to be a makabah. It's to be a mashpia, not to be a makabah. So in a certain way, an ish represents, I don't want to say a tzaddik, and an ish represents a rasha. What it means is that it represents that if a person is becoming a mashpia, if he's emulating the ways of Hashem through the chesed that Hashem does, then it's like an ish. Whereas an ish is a bechina, is a makabah, and if a person is a makabah, he needs to come back into this lifetime in an oifen that he'll learn on being a mashpia. So therefore you could say, Isha ki sazriya v'yalda zachar means that an Isha ki sazriya v'yalda zachar, that just means that when a woman becomes pregnant and she gives birth to a child. It's referring to one person, like we said before. An av and a ben means a person in the previous Gilgul and in his current lifetime. So an Isha, if a person is an Isha, ki sazriya v'yalda zachar, but she comes back again, and a lifetime that he's a zachar to work on being a mashpia, in that parasha of Kisazria, Hashem is megalah to Eov, where he saw in that parasha the inyan of Gilgal. And when he understood the inyan that there's a secret called Gilgal, so hisnachim daitel shel Eov, then everything made sense to him. So again, like we said before, that although it just seems that the Inyan of Gilgul is not something which we speak about a lot, which of course is in Skalim Pimis Torah. It seems like it just has like its little crevice in Torah, and we don't really touch it, and we question it and this and that. It's something which is very strong. It's a rock. It's an Evan, literally. It's an Evan Masu Abayim Ha'isadur Ashpina. It's not something which could be questioned. It's not something which a person can take issue with. It's something which is established in the hearts of Bnei Yisrael and the Messiah of Bnei Yisrael. And we'll see. Although right now we don't delve into it because we're not Nevi'im. We're Bnei Nevi'im, but we're not Nevi'im, which means that we're Gagulim and Nevi'im. But we don't have actual Nevu'ah right now. But Hashem will be Megalot to us later on. In that time, Hashem will open up to a person his whole lifetime. And his whole experience will become clear to him. And that, when that happens, when Hashem gives us eyes to be able to see in front of us and to be able to see in back of us, to be able to proclaim, although we can proclaim now because we're Ma'aminim Bnei Ma'aminim too. Right? We're Gagulim of Ma'aminim. And we are Ma'aminim, but we can proclaim with certainty, like Moshe says in his Torah, Kel Emunah Ve'ein Avel. It becomes sweet to us when we can understand the sugyas a little bit. It shows us the brilliance and the depths of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hanhaga in this world, and how he makes things. Everything that Hashem makes, by the way, is circular. And man makes squares, and Hashem makes circles. Be ma'ayin in that inyan. But when Hashem makes circles, means that Hashem makes things that they revolve. And what comes around, what goes around, comes around. That's why Hashem Yisbarach is manning this world. So we should be zeicha, and in this chos of our emunah, and especially in this time permit, which is upon us, b'siach to the Shemaim, and we should be zeicha to the ultimate simcha, where Hashem revealed to our own eyes, that we should be able to proclaim with certainty, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech, Hashem Melech. Have a great night.